Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to cover a few news items, and there's an opportunity to call in if you've been listening to this show and you have thoughts about any of the current events or moral principles or biblical teachings that we've been discussing on the air. Our number is 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. The Brits, the British, are they okay? I mean, their IQ level. Are they somehow deficient? Are they corporately, mentally ill? I was listening to the BBC report last night, and I remember the story a week ago from The Guardian out of the UK, the United Kingdom, and they're virtual lunatics. Their entire society, they're talking about this computer contest they had yesterday to see if computers could trick people into thinking that they're not computers by having a conversation with someone. And it's a conversation done on a keyboard and a computer screen. It's called the Turing test. And they actually talk as though on the BBC and this report I have from The Guardian, they actually talk as though these computers perhaps are self-aware, that they're conscious, that they're actually intelligent. And they talk about these profound questions. And it's just bizarre. It is absolutely bizarre. It is inane. So we'll get to that in a moment. Also, other stories, the British government is moving today to take control of the Royal Bank of Scotland. And that's a $20 billion effort. Now, is that $20 billion or pounds? If it's pounds, it's a lot more money of taxpayer money. The government is also expected to take over another major bank there, HBOS. Actually, it's more than just a bank. But in the most dramatic extension of state ownership in the British economy since World War II. HBOS, by the way, they've got 72,000 employees, retail, business, corporate banking, insurance, and investment. And they do it all by delivering innovative funding solutions. I'm sure they are innovative, and so that's why now they're broke. And the White House is considering ownership of American banks. And these are massive steps towards socialism, massive steps being accomplished by Republicans, so-called conservatives, so-called Christians. And socialism, of course, is evil. It's not just that it doesn't work, but it violates God's command, do not steal. That's what's wrong with socialism. What's wrong with it is that it's immoral, it's wrong, it violates do not steal. As a secondary matter, it's inefficient, it doesn't work well, people don't have the same standard of living under socialism. You spread out the misery, that's what you do. You don't spread the wealth, you spread the misery. So socialism is broken. And questions like, well, are we better off with this socialist plan here or that socialist plan there or this $700 billion bailout? Or maybe the bailout should be $672 billion. Those questions are all irrelevant. The question that you ask is it right or is it wrong? That's the relevant question. First you ask that, and then in the context of the actions that would be right, moral, godly, then you could make your decision as to what you're going to do. So if you're wondering what has a better rate of return, a CD, a money market fund, or a gun pointed at a teller, Which has a better rate of return? A gun pointed at a teller, or a CD, certificate of deposit, or a money market fund? Maybe municipal bonds. There are some options that it doesn't matter which has a better rate of return. Some things are just wrong. But many of our conservative talk show hosts, columnists, authors, TV hosts, they can't even think in terms of right and wrong. They just can't do it. They can't do it. They haven't been trained to do it. They often brag that they don't know the Bible, God's word, and they have no foundation. So gradually, those who hate the Democrats become Democrats. After 20 or 30 years, you can't tell the difference between the screaming Republicans of today and the Democrats of 30 years ago. We'll go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Tennessee, Joseph, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good, sir.
It's been a few years since I've called you, Bob. My friend Luke and I used to be in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah, Joseph. Well, welcome back on the air. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, great. I'm in the banking field now, and
all right.
The current situation has a big impact, of course, on my job, but in general,
mm-hmm.
on the whole world now, it seems, and just want to talk a moment about that. Just hear what you see as, you know, the principles of solution.
Sure, sure, and thanks for asking, Joseph. Well, first, to identify what the problems are, and the problems are deep and systemic and many, but some of the fundamental problems, well, more recent problems are, for example, government policy that because of fairness, we need to make loans to people who can't afford them. And so banks are encouraged, unless they want to be charged with somehow being bigoted or biased, they have to make loans to people who can't afford the loans. So
right.
They make no income, no job, no asset loans. And I've seen loans like that to people I know who should not have received any mortgage, and they got mortgages.
Right.
And they've gone, you know, default. They've defaulted on those loans. So government policy to that effect is wrong. It's immoral. Secondarily, and this is sort of working backwards through time, so that's the most recent horrendous development. If we ignore the current cure now, which is worse than the disease, the White House, the Republican White House, with the Republican Treasury Secretary considering taking ownership of private banks. I mean, that is absolutely horrendous socialism. But to work backwards then there is bailouts, you know, bailouts of private industry, which almost guarantee future bailouts. If a company is large enough, whether it's an insurance company, a bank, an investment bank, or perhaps a railroad or an auto manufacturer, if they're big enough, they could be irresponsible enough so that the cost would be so horrendous to the economy that they're pretty sure the government's going to bail them out. And that's wrong. The government doesn't have the right to take money from my kids and to bail out businesses and stockholders who invested in companies that were poorly run. It's immoral. It's wrong. So government bailouts are fundamentally wrong. And to go back further in time, the idea of the government insuring bank accounts gives a pressure toward a poorly run banks. Because people don't have to worry. There is no market pressure to make sure I put my money in a well-run bank. I don't have to worry where my money is because the government insures all banks equally.
Well,
so,
they don't insure all banks. I mean, the banks have to pay for that insurance.
Well, yeah, the FDIC. But, I mean, virtually all banks in operation in America have FDIC-insured accounts.
Right.
So, the government, imagine, Joseph, if the government insured, no, if they'd said it like this, regarding cars and auto safety, if the government said, look, all cars have an equal safety rating. So when you go to buy a car, you don't have to be concerned about the safety rating of a car. If the government said that, if they mandated that, then there'd be less pressure on the auto industry to improve the safety of their vehicles. Because all that pressure of, say, 10 million families, because a lot of families just ignore safety ratings, but if the government said all cars are equally safe, they have equal safety ratings, then the auto industry would have less pressure to make their cars more safe. So when the government says all banks are equally safe for your money and your account, then there are 100 million families and millions of businesses that automatically apply no pressure, no market pressure to banks to be well run, to be responsible, because we don't care. We have no concern. If our bank is not well run, there's nothing we're going to lose. So that is fundamentally, I submit, immoral. The government doesn't have the authority or the right to take money from our kids and insure private businesses that are poorly run. They don't have that right.
Right. Well, where do you see the line as far as, you know, I know you've said, you know, laws are can't really be created. They're discovered.
Right.
And so when we see, you know, obviously we see national defense is something the government, you know, we don't have privatized national defense. There are some.
Right.
But overall, the government takes that role and infrastructure. And I guess where are the lines as far as banking and just credit in general?
Well, that's a great question.
Where do you see the lines and the parameters?
That's a great question, Joseph. And the two just functions of government that we've been talking about on this program for about 17 years are infrastructure like roads, bridges, waterways, airwaves. For example, radio, TV, cell phones, and all that. The government, since these are shared resources, the government must manage that kind of infrastructure where somebody has to say, okay, garage door openers operate on this frequency, and cell phones operate on this frequency. Otherwise, anybody in their garage could put out of commission everybody else's wireless communications, for example. So the government does infrastructure, shared resources that you have no choice but to share, and they do criminal justice, protecting us from would-be murderers, kidnappers, invading armies, and so on. So criminal justice, stopping people who would murder, steal, kidnap, and so on. And that's it. So when it comes to banking, that should be a private sector function, Joseph. Banking doesn't fit in those two categories.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that in the Bible, God's word says, build good roads. It says that at one point, in the context even of criminal justice. And it's good for a country to have a good transportation system so that its military can defend the nation and that the police force can operate effectively. So build good roads and have an effective criminal justice / military.
Right. Well, let me ask you, I've read a good amount on the Great Depression, and really Herbert Hoover was one that saw, you know, he said the market will work itself out. He kept taking his hands off, and ultimately there was pretty severe collapse. And I guess there's some debate as to whether FDR really pulled it out or the market pulled it out ultimately. But do you just see it just letting it totally collapse if that's the point it gets to? Or?
Well, it depends, Joseph. When any of us say we've read about the Great Depression, it really depends who we read, right?
Right.
Because there were financial crises before the 1930s, and the resolution of those crises, we could look back and say, well, look, the government didn't intervene, and things went better. And when the government does intervene, the misery is extended. So it's, you know, it's a challenge to get through the bias and get to, you know, the actual historical account of what did or what did not happen. But I'll give you an example from history. Here's an example that I think is undeniable. Today, the government says, well, when people are unemployed, we need to help them get jobs. We need to give them unemployment benefits, and we need to provide government training and all that. Well, if you go back to when our population was way smaller, at the end of the Civil War, there were hundreds of thousands, a million men who had been on the battlefield who were coming back, and now they had to work. So what is the government going to do? Job training for a million men? Unemployment benefits for a million men? What the government did was nothing. They did nothing, as far as I can recall. And those men went to work. They went to work. And that's the way the economy should function. It's not the government's job to run the economy, because the governing officials are not smart enough to run the economy, and they certainly are not wise or moral enough to restrain themselves from the temptation of somebody who supposedly is running the economy. So, I would argue with the Austrian economist that the government should not be involved in these decisions. And so what are we doing? The government is insuring bank accounts up to $100,000. And so Bush comes out and says, well, we got to up that to $250,000. They don't realize that's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 100 million families who couldn't care less how well-run or poorly run their banks are, because George Bush is going to guarantee their money.
Right. Well, I really believe that's only temporary, just to try to, you know, put some influence that people won't, there won't be runs on the bank.
Let me ask you this, Joseph. If you think that's temporary, in the past, when the FDIC and also with the savings and loan scandal,
mm-hmm.
when people did not lose the money that they had in the banks, they got their money covered, even when banks have gone under. What happened to the money in accounts in excess of $100,000? What has our government done? Do you recall? Like, let's say somebody had $230,000 in their account, and the bank was insured to $100,000 per account. Do you recall? I recall from news reports. I'm wondering if you recall what happened.
I don't.
The government just covered it.
Hmm.
I mean, how often do you have coverage, let's say, for your car or for your house, $100,000 coverage, and you got $300,000 worth of damage, and the insurance company says, well, you know, you only had a $100,000 policy, but we're going to give you $300,000 anyway. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Right.
That happens when the government is spending someone else's money. They're spending my kids' money and your kids and our grandkids. They're spending our grandkids' money, and they want to buy votes with that money. It's wrong. It's immoral. They don't have the right to take money from struggling young families and give that money to Wall Street investment banks. They don't have the right. It's not right. But today, the Dow, what did it go up? 1,000 points almost.
Nearly, over 900.
Yeah, so who's going to care today about right and wrong? Nobody's going to care. People are not going to care. You know, pastors with retirement accounts, they're not going to care. Their retirement account just got a healthy boost. They're not going to teach these economic principles. And certainly we're not going to hear about it from Sean Hannity or O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh. So I think what we need to do as Christians is to become experts on right and wrong. Experts on right and wrong. And filter every current event, every controversy, every public dispute through the first filter of right and wrong morality. What is right? What is wrong? And then we decide what to do. But that's a step that our Christian leaders have not even taught us. They haven't taught us to first become experts on right and wrong. And so that's what I am attempting to do on this show for 17 years, is as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, for me to write the same thing to you again is not tedious. He said, I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over and over because it's true and we need to get these things through our thick heads.
Right.
Joseph,
Bob, I've appreciated you over these years. I really appreciate your wisdom, and I know you prayed for that for a long time. God has given you a bunch.
Well, thank you, Joseph. It's really an honor to have a call from you. You've been in the military. You've been overseas defending our country. So, you know, when an old friend of the show calls in, it sometimes takes my mind a while to wrap around some of the old memories. But it's been neat knowing that we have listeners like you who have the courage to go out. In fact, one of the guys visiting our church yesterday, Denver Bible Church, just got back from Iraq. Just back from Iraq, and he's at church, and what an honor and a blessing to us. So, Joseph, do you have any other thoughts to add to that discussion of economics?
No, not really. I'm just thinking in the big picture. I know Paulson and Bernanke, they're sharp guys, whether or not they can really interpret so much, you know, through moral lenses.
Right.
Maybe debatable, but nevertheless, I really think they're trying to do temporary things. I really don't think they'll actually go through with buying stock. I may be totally wrong. But I think a lot of these things are just to calm the market. Since we're built on credit.
I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show. Last week I mentioned Iceland just bought their largest bank in Iceland, and that was now three. Now the government in Iceland is running their three only major banks there. The UK, the Royal Bank of Scotland is now under state control as of today, and the UK, they're about to take over HBOS, with 72,000 employees, the country's largest employer, I think, or one of their largest employers, largest mortgage and savings provider, and insurance and investment products and so on. So this is happening around the country, around the world, I mean, and certainly there have been positive statements out of, you know, friends of the administration that they're considering buying ownerships stock in these private banks. Joseph, did you see what the news out about Venezuela's daily oil production? This is a crack up. Yeah, just out today. You know, Hugo Chavez down there, their president, hates America, of course, and he's a socialist. And so he's running that country like it's a socialist country. And so their oil production from when he took over the country, their oil production was 3.2 million barrels a day, and they've got a lot of oil in Venezuela, maybe second only to Saudi Arabia. They've now dropped to 2.4 million barrels a day. It's a 25% drop. And half of the oil that they sell at a discount to Chavez's socialist friends. That country is facing enormous financial challenges because they don't know right from wrong. He's a socialist. He doesn't know that socialism is immoral. So on that score, I don't see a difference between him and George Bush. George Bush doesn't know that socialism is immoral. He gave us a multi-billion dollar entitlement program, the prescription drug Medicaid program for senior citizens. I mean, that is sheer socialism. And Bush doesn't know right from wrong. He simply doesn't know it. And I'm sorry I'm babbling, Joseph.
No, it's fine. I enjoy listening.
Well, thank you for your call.
You're welcome, Bob.
I appreciate that. Let us know what happens with the banks down there in Tennessee.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. A former banker from Tennessee Larry Bates. He was a bank president down there. His radio program is on just before Bob Benyart Live. And I would like to know what he thinks of the current bailout. Of course, he sells gold, and so he should be doing well the past year or so. I always wonder why people who sell gold, they say the paper currency is not really worth much. Gold is where it's at. And they have gold, but they want your paper currency, and they'll give you their gold. I never figured that out, but someday I'll figure it out. All right, so The Guardian in England, they did an article last week, Can Computers Think? And there was a Turing test set up for yesterday, and Alan Turing was a mathematician from the last century, and he said if a computer could trick 30% of humans into thinking that they were conversing with a human, that would be a significant milestone, and that the computer could be said to be thinking, that it's thinking. And that, of course, is inane. And The Guardian, their article on this, they said that this Turing test that was held yesterday, by the way, the computers fooled 25% of the judges. So they're going to try again in a couple years. And I imagine, you know, computer programming gets increasingly sophisticated. And artificial intelligence is a kind of computer function where the computer is programmed to appear like it's intelligent, but it's not intelligent. It's not self-aware. It might be able to identify a face and pick one person out of a crowd of 1,000, but it doesn't know what a face is. It doesn't know what a person is. It doesn't know what a crowd of 1,000 is. It doesn't know what a computer is. It doesn't know that it's on. It's just atoms and molecules. And they say, oh, but the artificial intelligence technology enables the computer to gain knowledge. Well, yeah, except it doesn't know it's gaining knowledge. So The Guardian wrote in this article last week that this raises profound questions about whether a computer has the potential to be conscious and if humans should have the right to switch off a computer. These people are lunatics. I listened to the BBC report last night about this Turing test. I think they're mentally deficient. What's going on in England? We've heard the news reports, we've seen the headlines about all the inbreeding in parts of England near London where people are marrying their first cousins, and I mean, we've seen that, but that's been among Muslim populations. What's going on in England? How ignorant could they be to think computers are beginning to think? It's absurd. They're like doorstops. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada, and KGov.com.